Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 44, part one of Near Death Dolls. I'm Paige.
And I'm Lisa.
And we are your hosties with the mosties.
Well, talking about ghosties.
And other Nazi scum piece of shit.
Oh, are we playing Wolfenstein?
I've never played, but I've heard it's good.
Knew that was the most German sounding word I could find. I knew there was Nazis in it. So Paige is going to be pulling us into a two-parter episode about Irma Grace, the blonde bitch of Auschwitz. But first, we're all going to need a fucking drink. So, Paige, what's in your beer stein today?
Oh, my Lord. Yes, we're going to need a drink. My drink today, I tried to go a little German with it, but I knew that Germans really like their beer. And if you guys know Near Death Dolls at all, you know that I'm not a big fan of beer. So I got something else. I got the next best thing. Apparently, Germans also really like their schnapps, which I believe is a German word anyway. Huh. So I got myself some peppermint schnapps, and I made myself a peppermint mocha, which is not a German drink, but the schnapps is German, so.
Kind of a reach, but we'll go with it. It's fine. We'll accept this.
Yeah, it's like a compromise between me and Germany.
There you go. All right, okay.
That's what I'll be drinking, and it's delicious. What are you going to be drinking tonight? What's in your beer stein?
Actually, I almost did pick a German Pilsner to drink. However, I was like, I'm not in the mood for beer. So,
ooh, okay.
Instead, I've done something I've done before. It's a ginger beer with cranberry vodka because I'm like, I have a feeling this episode is going to make me want something sweet because I don't want a bad taste in my mouth, so to speak.
Yes, I agree. That's what I was thinking too. I was like, I need something sweet, something like that's going to kick me in the face with sweetness. So I think we both made the right decision.
Good. I'm glad. I'm glad we're on the same page here, Paige.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. My own name.
Say no more. All right. I know this is going to be a tough one.
Yeah. We had to get our giggles out right now because we're not going to be giggling too much throughout. But yeah, let's get into it. We've got Irma Grace. She is officially like her nickname is. She has several nicknames, but they call her the Blonde Beast of Burke now. I decided we should call her the Blonde Bitch of Auschwitz because she was a prison guard at Auschwitz. And she's a bitch, and she was blonde, so it makes sense to me. It
sounds good to me.
But let's get into it. Let's learn about this bitch. So her name, Irma, is I-R-M-A. Her last name, Grace, G-R-E-S-E. The German pronunciation, I believe, from what I can tell from listening to how to pronounce things online, is Irma Grace. If I'm saying it wrong, I do apologize, but I'm going to do my best throughout this and next episode.
It's hard when you don't have the accent.
Yes, I do not.
No, I tried listening to the pronunciation, and I heard like, kind of like how you said Irma, and then I think the last name came out like Grisse.
Yeah.
But that's going to be really annoying for us to say as Americans. I'm so sorry if you're German and you're like, God, you can't get it right. We're sorry.
I tried it like that. I found a couple different ones, and I was trying to copy that last name. Like you said it, like Grisse or something, and it sounded very Italian. I just kept getting more.
It does.
Yeah, it's just get more Italian with it. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to say Grazie, like Grazie. So yes, I do apologize. I am an American. I have an American mouth, and it's not very good at things. So here we go.
What? Paige, your mouth is good at plenty. It's good at plenty. Oh,
thanks, Lisa. You're a real friend.
Yeah, I know. Platonic.
Okay.
By the way.
Platonic. We are platonic friends, yes.
In case y'all were wondering.
In case you were wondering about how Lisa knows that I have a good mouth for things. Anyway. So here's our 50-foot overview of Irma Gracie. Grace. April 14th, 1945. Irma was arrested by British troops at the Bergen-Belsen concentration camp. So we're starting at the end a little bit.
Okay, I like it.
She was a 22-year-old blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl who had dreams of becoming a movie star.
Maybe, you know what? I'm looking at a picture of her face, and I feel like she's a mix between Alicia Silverstone and, What is Elizabeth Moss?
Nice. I didn't even think of that. But yeah, I could totally see that she is the love child of those two people, at least in her face, like her facial in her features. Face. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. That's a good. OK, there we go. Thank you. That's a very good comparison. So she has the face of a movie star, or at least two mashed together. And that's what she wants to do after the war is over. But unfortunately, she can't now. How did she end up here? How is she a bloodthirsty SS officer instead of a movie star? Well, that's what we're about to find out.
Please tell me more.
Oh, I will. We've got Irma from Farm Girl to Execution.
Oh, shit.
Got a long journey ahead of us. Before we get started, I do have a bit of a warning up top. I don't know how much I have to warn you guys. It's an episode about Nazis. She works at Auschwitz. It's going to get rough and awful and dark. Now, I'm not going to get into like really, really gory details, but I will give you guys some information. And anyway, just a little bit of, upfront warning. If you guys don't want to listen to this, I get it. Because it upset me too. Mm-hmm. Okay. Early Irma. She was born in 1927 in Rechen, Germany. Her parents are Alfred and Bertha. They had five children in total, including Irma.
Hmm. You know, I never think of people who do bad things as having, like, siblings. I know that sounds really weird, like they do, but it's just, I always feel like the really shittiest people are, like, only children. And if you're an only child, I'm not saying that you're a bad person. I'm just saying when I think of bad people, I don't know, I always think of them as an only child. So it's interesting to me that she had siblings.
I get it, because from my perspective, I have a hard time picturing them as kids, because it's mm-hmm. like, by the time I know about them, they're adults and they've done awful things, like an Ed Kemper or something. It's like, once you go back far enough, you're like, wow, at one time he was a little boy and he had siblings mm-hmm. and parents and
right.
pet dogs and stuff like that, and she did too. So yeah, I mean, every monster starts somewhere with siblings.
I guess you learn how to torture people by torturing your siblings first.
It's probably, that's a good point. So the German economy at this time, around the time she was born, it was in the tank. It was in the toilet. There's two reasons for that. After World War II, Germany just never really recovered economically from that. Also, I'm sorry, World War I.
There you go.
But after World War I, the economy never really got back up and running. Also, there's a global depression going on, and it started in America, but it also affected the rest of the world, including Germany. Because of that, Irma and her family were poor as dirt. They always had food to eat because they were farmers, but they didn't have a lot of money. They were living out in the boonies, you know. They weren't in the nice cities of Germany or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, Bertha, Irma's mother, committed suicide when Irma was young. So all the children, all these five children, were left in the care of their father, Alfred, who's described, I would say he was probably kind of a normal father for the time, quote unquote, just because back then, it was acceptable to, like, beat your kids for things. Mm. So that's what he did. He was strict. He would beat his kids for slight, offenses. And the kids were miserable with him and their new mommy.
Oh, new mommy?
Oh, yeah. He got married right afterwards. Didn't seem to bother him that his wife killed herself.
Yikes. I'm guessing this is probably the catalyst. Because there's always something that I think triggers people who are evil. And I guess having your mom leave the picture and all of a sudden your dad remarries, I could see this being a...
I agree. It very well could be. There was a rumor as well. I couldn't substantiate this, but it's possible that the mom killed herself because Alfred had an affair.
Yeah, that's... Yikes.
Yeah, it's awful. And then Alfred went and married his mistress after his wife killed herself.
Ooh, wow.
So it gets worse and worse. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I agree with you. It seems like this is kind of the right recipe for an awful human being.
Possibly.
It could go either way. And actually, it could have just been a story about a poor family struggling to get by.
Sure.
Except for what else was going on in Germany at the time. And since this isn't really an episode about World War II, we're not going to, go into all the details of what happened and how it started or anything. We're only going to talk about what relates to Yerma's story. So by 1934, President Hindenburg dies. He's the president of Germany at the time.
And the blimp.
And the blimp. He invented it. Actually, I'm just kidding. Hitler, at this point, declares himself Führer. The Nazi party is in full charge of Germany. And Hitler makes sure that all other political parties are disbanded and outlawed. So it's all Nazis from 1934 onward.
Question. What is a Hitler?
Good question.
I'm just kidding.
It's an asshole.
My sister, when she was little, asked me, Lisa, was Hitler a bad guy? And my other sister goes, what's a Hitler?
Aww.
We were very young. That's like my favorite story to tell.
That is the
what's
cutest.
What's a Hitler?
That's the cutest little innocence of children.
Like, right? Yeah, it was pretty funny.
What did you say? Could you just not stop laughing? Because I bet I couldn't.
After I got past laughing, I'm like, yes, Hitler is bad. And he was an evil dictator that got what he deserved. Well, he really deserved much worse. But
I kept it pretty
light. They were young. They were pretty young.
Yeah.
The youngest one's like, what's a Hitler?
Yeah, at that point, what are you supposed to go through the whole history of all the people that died in the concentration camps and stuff like that? Yeah, they'll figure that out later. They will hear about it later in school. But yes, what is a Hitler indeed? We could probably philosophically discuss that.
Mm-hmm.
But
an asshole.
We are not going to. Yes, exactly. He doesn't even really feature in this episode, which is interesting. But I mean, she never met him as far as I know. But by 1939, so 1934, basically Hitler takes over Germany. By 1939, all children are required to join Hitler Youth programs, which includes Yerma and her siblings.
Mm-hmm.
But they needn't have forced Yerma to go because she and her sister, Helene, were very excited to join the Girl Scouts, the Nazi version of the Girl Scouts.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah. Now, so one of the reasons probably that they were excited to join is because they're a poor family. They probably haven't been out camping or, you know, been able to hang out with friends too much up until this point. So I'm sure that for them, it was like just a way, like any girl who wants to join, you know, I was in Girl Scouts. I thought it was a blast. You go camping, you learn stuff, you know, you hang out with other kids, make friends. Sell cookies.
I did not know you were in Girl Scouts.
I was in Girl Scouts for a while.
Mm-hmm. How long? Mm-hmm.
Maybe till like 8 or 9. I don't know when you're supposed to get out, but
like at 18.
At 18? Oh, damn. Okay. Nope. I guess I wasn't in it for that long.
Yeah. I was in for like maybe 4 years too. So we didn't get that far.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was done by then. It was fun, but then it was over. Now, the Nazi version, this isn't necessarily the Nazi version of Girl Scouts. It's called Bund Deutscher Mädel. Bund Deutscher Mädel. It means the League of German Girls.
Mm-hmm.
And it, once the Nazis came around, they turned it into the Nazi youth program for girls. And basically they taught them how to be good Nazi moms later in life so they could raise good Aryan children.
Yep. And side note, if you haven't seen the TV show called The Man in the High Castle, it's really good and kind of sheds a little bit of light on this. It's basically an alternate reality if Germany and Japan had won World War II and how that would have affected the U.S. and other countries.
I haven't seen it.
It's really good. It's a really interesting alternate reality kind of show, and they do talk about these the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts for Nazis, essentially.
Yeah.
They have that in the show. So that's kind of ringing bells here for me.
Oh, interesting. I'd like to watch it now. I didn't realize it got into that kind of depth. I thought it was more of a surface show.
No. It's a really good show, and it's on Prime if you want to watch it. And I think it already ended. I think there's a couple seasons. But it was really good. I enjoyed it.
That's the best time to start watching a show, because then I'm not sitting and waiting for another season to come.
Nope. I think it's all done.
But yeah, so I guess go watch that. Maybe you'll understand BDM a little bit more, because that's what they called it, BDM, I suppose.
BDSM? Now, okay.
BDSM. Anyway.
They'll whip you into shape.
Yeah. Woo! Now, Yerma, she was in particular said to have a little bit of a fascination with Hitler and Nazis. You know, she thought that they were great, like heroes of Germany.
Well, when you're fed that kind of propaganda, you're going to believe it, so.
Absolutely, yeah. And
if that's all you're getting, then that's all you're going to believe, is, like, you're on the good side.
Yeah, absolutely. And they had, Germany got squashed so bad from World War One that mm-hmm. they needed a hero. They needed someone to lift them up out of the, now, unfortunately, it just happened to be Hitler. It could have been someone better, and Germany would have been okay, but. So, yeah, they, I mean, like, he put himself in that position because he knew Germany needed a hero. And also, from the start, he wasn't the same Hitler that we know of later. Like, he was building up to that. So, by this point, he seemed like a hero type figure. So, for Irma, as a girl, as a young girl, if she had been growing up in the 90s, she would have a poster of Hitler on her wall and, like, draw little hearts on it and shit.
That's gross.
I am sure. Like, I had a poster of NSYNC and Aragorn on my wall. She would have had a Hitler.
Okay. I like it. I like it a lot.
So in 1938, Irma left school. She was 15 years old. And she joined up with the Nazi party after that. First, Irma wanted to be a nurse to help the war effort. There's not a lot of ways that women can help the war effort, especially back then. So, you know, that was kind of top of the list. Like, oh, I could be a nurse. She worked as an attendant nurse in an SS sanatorium. She was hoping that that experience would help her get into nursing school. But unfortunately, as I assume it's because she was a farmer's daughter, she just didn't have the means or the family history to get into, like, a nice school, so they didn't accept her in several times. Every time she applied, she got rejected. So instead, she got a job at a nearby concentration camp called Ravensbrück.
Oh, that doesn't sound foreboding at all.
No. Yeah. Yes. So she started working at Ravensbrück. It's a strictly female concentration camp, so they only had female prisoners. They also had a training program there for new female SS officers, like Irma wanted to be. Now, the female SS were ranked lower than any of the male SS, as you can imagine.
Mm-hmm. That was the time, wasn't it?
Yes. Yes. They also... The Nazis wanted women to stay home and raise families. They didn't want them out fighting wars and being, you know, brutal and things like that.
Maybe don't be starting no wars and we won't have to deal with this shit. Sorry.
Right. I know, right? Maybe I will stay home and raise a family. Sip, sip, what the shit? I'm taking one right now.
Mm-hmm. I already finished mine. We only just got started. Yeah, I'm done.
That's a lot of sipping that you've been doing.
Thirsty.
I mean,
thirsty.
I could just keep talking.
No, it's quiet. Your drink. Right. I don't need to make myself another cocktail. We're good.
You might need one. We're not even halfway through.
But I'll text Kyle.
Bring me a drink, please. So, like I said, the Nazi values decided women should be at home, but they also needed a lot more. You know, they needed some female SS officers to help at the female concentration camps. And so that's where the female SS officers came into play. Mm. In Ravensbrück, the higher ranking female SS guards who, you know, had already been doing it for a little while, they trained the new guards, like Irma, with brutal exercises.
Like push-ups and jumping jacks?
Oh, totally, I'm sure. I'm sure that was part of it anyway. Got to be in good shape. But they were taught to punish prisoners and prevent breakouts. So to, you know, just be aware. Make sure nobody's plotting anything or sneaking off. Mm-hmm. But they were also instructed on how to torture and humiliate the prisoners because they saw... Whoever they had sent to these concentration camps. There was a lot of different types of prisoners. They're definitely mostly Jewish people. Mm-hmm. And at Ravensbrück, of course, it's all women. So we've got Jewish women, political prisoners from different countries. Mm-hmm. And anybody in Germany who wasn't Jewish but was also seen as antisocial. To us, like to me and you, if I said antisocial, I would think someone that's shy and stays home.
Like me.
Like me. Yeah. But that's not the case. What they meant as antisocial meant like people who were standing in the way and they were barriers to the success of the Nazi party or of the Aryan race.
Okay.
And this includes anybody in the LGBTQ community, Jehovah's Witnesses, people with disabilities.
Come on.
Etc. There was a lot. There was a long list of people that they thought needed to be in these concentration camps. Mm. Now, they saw them as lesser than, so it's okay to torture them and be mean to them, basically.
Wrong.
I agree. That's all. That's a very wrong thing to think. Mm-hmm. They handed Yerma a gun or whatever. You know, they handed her these tools of torture and said, basically what I just said is that these people you're watching are lesser than you and you need to beat them up as much as possible. And she took it like a fish to water.
She's like, I get to use these things? Like, for real?
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, woohoo, this is great. I'm good at this, unfortunately.
Oh, God. Where do you get the, like, I don't know. Someone could tell me someone else is lesser than me. I'm not going to believe it. I know it's a different time. We obviously, I want to say we have more equality, but I think we're a lot more conscious of it.
Yes, but I agree.
It's definitely not in me to want to hurt somebody.
Same. I agree. We're going to talk a little bit about this actually throughout the two episodes, but there is some discussion about Yerma specifically. How was she made into a monster, or was she always a monster and they just gave her the tools?
Some nature versus nurture kind of stuff, huh?
Yeah. 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 And the way she wants you to think it is that she was just following orders. Mm-hmm. Of course, because she didn't want to be in trouble for it. But the way that the survivors of the Holocaust tell it is that she relished it and she really enjoyed hurting people. So could go either. I don't know. I think it's more, I believe the survivors more than I believe Yerma.
I do.
But anyway, so at this point, Yerma is an SS officer. She's 18 years old. It's 1941. And her first duty at Ravensbrück was to supervise prisoners who were working just outside the camp. So, for instance, like this one I'm about to tell a story about, this group of people had been taken outside the camp to weed, basically, to pull up weed. So one Holocaust survivor remembered an incident with Yerma while on weeding duty. The prisoners were ordered to pick stinging nettles. I've never touched a stinging nettle, but I've heard of them. They sound awful. So they were ordered to pick stinging nettle without gloves, so that kind of sucks, and to place them in baskets. Yerma would check on their progress, and if she thought the basket wasn't full enough, she'd beat the prisoners over the head back and forth, like over and over again.
Jeez,
lady. Isn't it punishment enough they got to touch these stinging nettles barehanded? So the survivor's account, after she talks about what Yerma did, she ends the account by saying, Yerma Grace was very beautiful, and she was extremely evil.
Unfortunately, sometimes those things go hand in hand.
Yeah, yeah. If she's vain and empty inside because she just put all of her effort into the looks, you know, empty. Who knows? Who knows? I never met the gal. So by the age of 18, Yerma was noticeably a blonde bombshell because everybody thought she was beautiful with nice curves, immaculate hair and makeup. And she's also found her true calling, being an SS officer, and she does a good job at it.
Eye roll.
Yeah, yeah. She does a good job at something she shouldn't be doing a good job at.
It's like being a good drug dealer. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Good for you, but no. Still bad.
Don't do that. Yes, exactly. March 1943, Yerma is transferred to the Auschwitz concentration camp. Now, before, this is kind of like, what do you want to call it? A promotion?
Okay.
Because she did such a good job.
Oh, okay. So. I thought you were like promoting Auschwitz. I'm like, it's known, Paige. It does not need promotion. But you mean a promotion for her. Okay. Yeah. Then sure, I guess.
Yeah, she did a good job. So she got promoted to Auschwitz. I don't want to promote the place. But before she goes, because Auschwitz is in Poland, before she goes over there, she goes home to tell her family, dressed in full SS uniform, by the way, She goes home to tell her father about this new promotion. Mm-hmm. And the two of them have a huge blow up fight about it.
Is he not proud of her? Is he not like pro-Nazism?
No, he is not. He told her, if you're going to wear that uniform, you can never come in my house again. Like, go away and never come back, basically, unless you're going to quit the Nazi party.
Huh. That's interesting. I guess in my head, I thought he already knew, maybe. Or maybe I guess he didn't.
I don't know. And I also wish I knew better why he wasn't supportive of her decision to be in the Nazi party and an SS officer. I don't think that by this time, I don't think that there was a general knowledge of what was going on inside of the concentration camp. So I don't see him being like, I don't support what's going on in there. Mm-hmm. Plus, he was supposedly an asshole. So I don't know if he would have moral ground to be like, you're a terrible person, and like, I don't like Hitler because he's a mean guy. I'm not sure why he didn't like the Nazis and Hitler.
Maybe, I'm sure this is true. Not every German person was a Nazi or believed in the Nazi party and its cause and its beliefs. But maybe they just didn't speak out against it as much, but still condemned it privately.
It's true. I agree with you. There's definitely some German folks who were against the Nazi party and against Hitler and their mm-hmm. message. I don't think Alfred was one of those people. He joined the Nazi party early on mm-hmm. before it was popular. But I think he joined it thinking it would save Germany, and maybe he decided by this point it wasn't saving Germany. I don't know. I want more insight into his personal reasons to not be interested in it anymore, but I don't know. And also, I think she knew that he didn't like the Nazis, and that's why she showed up in her Nazi uniform to kind of rub it in his face.
Stick it to the man. Stick it to Pa.
Stick it to Pa. Bye, Pops. Because, you know, they got in a fight and she was never allowed to come home again. Yeah. Now, later on, her sister Helene said she didn't see Irma again until after Irma was on trial. Or until, you know, after Irma got arrested and was on trial. Mm-hmm. There, at the trial, Helene testified in defense of her sister that she didn't believe Irma was capable of such cruelty.
Well, I'm sure it's like 1,000 people plus that would say otherwise. So
yes, I think Helene is wrong, but she might just not know that she's wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because she didn't see her sister since before, since before her sister went to Auschwitz. She hadn't seen her in that whole time.
Yeah, and she didn't know what her sister's capable of at that point.
Yeah. And she didn't see her much before that either, because when Irma turned 15, she moved out. So Helene just doesn't know her sister very well, I think.
Yeah.
Or is it possible that when Irma became an SS officer, she found the cruelty inside of her and like brought it out. And so that's why her sister never saw it before. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, like we discussed it, maybe when she was told it was okay that she had power over people, she believed it and turned into that monster that she didn't used to be. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I think that's why Helene didn't know her sister very well. Yeah. She didn't get to see that side of her. But in any case, after being rejected by her father, Irma packed up and moved to Poland to work at Auschwitz. A little history on Auschwitz, very small amount of history on Auschwitz. It opened in 1940 for Polish prisoners. It grew rapidly, branching out into multiple camps, and later on became the largest Nazi death camp, using gas chambers for mass executions.
Ugh, like that freaks me out.
Yeah. No, yeah, it's a terrible, awful. And any prisoners not sent immediately to the gas chambers were used as slave labor and subjected to terrible living conditions, as well as the constant threat of beatings and torture. Mm-hmm. And medical experiments. Can't forget Mengele.
It freaks me out so bad.
Oh, I know. Luckily, we're not talking about Mengele this go-round, but we might in the future. Almost immediately after being transferred to Auschwitz, Irma was promoted. There is a word here that's her title, and I'm going to try and say it. I don't think I'm going to say it right.
Try your best.
Thank you. Oberaufsicherin.
Okay.
And that means senior supervisor.
Okay. I think you did all right.
So she got a high rank. Oh, thank you. Thank you. This is the second highest rank a woman could hold in a camp.
Do you happen to know what the highest is?
No, I didn't get that title.
Okay.
But I assume it's supervisor. I don't know. So she's like just underneath the supervisor. I don't know.
All right. Assistant manager. Yeah. Okay.
Basically. Or assistant to the regional manager.
Uh-huh. Either way, it's a shitty title in this position.
Yeah. 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 Now, from 1942 onward, in Auschwitz, most women prisoners were sent to Auschwitz II, which is where Irma was posted. So it's a separate camp. So there was like the original Auschwitz camp. And then as it grew, they had to build more and more outward. And so the second camp, Auschwitz II, was basically just for women.
It sounds like a bad sequel.
Auschwitz II? Yeah. The Bride of Auschwitz or something. Jesus. The Son of Auschwitz. Yeah. Sounds awful. Now, Irma, the beast, this was her playground. I have a description of Irma. So this is like day-to-day Irma in Auschwitz at her heyday. Mm-hmm. First off, that you're going to notice about her walking down the street towards you in Auschwitz is her vanity.
All right.
She always had to look her best.
I mean, don't we all?
Nah, I've given up on it.
Yeah. That was definitely said with sarcasm.
Oh, for sure. Especially in these quarantine times. I've been wearing sweatpants all day.
Be glad I took a shower, okay?
At least I take a shower. At least I did do that. Now, Irma wore specially tailored jackets, doused herself in perfume, and was said to spend hours in front of the mirror doing her hair and makeup every day.
Little excessive when you're just going to torture someone.
Yes. Yes, it's a little excessive. And it's like, these aren't clean camps. You're going to get dirty throughout the day. Anyway, that's why she needed hours, I guess. But firstly, it was because she was young and everybody thought she was beautiful. So she was just, you know, feeding into that.
Sure.
But also, it was a huge slap in the face to the female prisoners because they weren't able to bathe except maybe once a month in dirty water.
Oh, that's true. Didn't they, like, shave their heads sometimes? And
yeah. Yeah, it's awful. Yeah, they only had one dress to wear, which they never took off because it's not like they had pajamas. Mm-hmm. So they just wore the dress all the time. And it's cold, so it's like you don't even want to take it off. Mm-mm. And then in Auschwitz, the prisoners only had, now I can't speak for the whole camp, but at least in Auschwitz too, with the women, they only had one bathroom per thousands of women. And the women were only allowed to use it at certain times of the day. Mm-hmm. So there would be a whole line of women down the street waiting to use the one, you know, chamber pot or whatever. I'm sure they didn't have great plumbing.
No, I doubt it.
It may be in the SS officers' houses, but not for the prisoners, for sure.
Yeah.
And the women lined up, they're covered in mud, they're standing in mud, and there is rampant dysentery throughout the whole camp. So,
ooh, yikes.
Yeah. These poor women probably couldn't even hold it in to make it to the bathroom.
No.
You know, so they're standing in their own excrement, and it's all over their one dress that they have as well. Mm. Disgusting. So you can imagine being in that perpetual state of gross stink, and then this bitch Irma Grease comes around glowing, she smells nice, she's got nice hair, just to rub it in, just to show you how shitty your existence is right now.
I already get jealous when I see other girls with like their hair done, and I'm like, I could have made an effort. but I didn't.
Out in San Diego, not now, I think the salons are opening back up, but for a long time, all of our hair salons were shut down. Mm-hmm. So if I saw anybody with their hair done, I was like, where the fuck did you get that?
Yeah, I can imagine there's some level of, I don't want to say jealousy, but resentment.
I would think so. I mean, I'm sure to a point they don't even care anymore, but there's probably at least some layers of jealousy and like, how dare you?
Well, I mean, think about it. Like, if you're a regular woman, citizen, person, and you go get your hair done every week, and then all of a sudden you're imprisoned, your head's been shaved, you're reduced to nothing, you're treated worse than an animal, and you see Miss Hoity-Toity walking around with her hair and makeup on, you have to be like, what happened to my life? Like, oh my God.
Right? Yeah, this little 18-year-old walking around. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Beating people, looking pretty. Fuck you, bitch. Sorry.
Yeah, so you already know she's a bitch as well. So it's like, it just lends into itself. It's like, makes she's it a bitch. Mm. She's being bitchy. Yeah. So Yerma, so that's what you first notice about her, is her vanity. Now, the second thing you're going to notice is her cruelty and like, mm-hmm. how she flaunted that as well. So she had, I'm going to go through a list of what she had with her basically on a day-to-day basis. One, she had very special heavy boots that she wore around the camp.
Not very feminine, but okay.
Yeah, big old, yeah, that's true. I don't know what they actually look like. I tried to see pictures of her boots. By the time I saw pictures of her, she was already getting arrested. So I don't think they were her nice boots. But she made use of them, basically. She wanted these big, heavy rubber boots to kick and stomp on prisoners.
Bitch.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. And sometimes, and probably frequently, she would use them to stomp prisoners to death. Ugh. And now, so that was the boots. Mm. If you don't get the boots, you might get the dogs.
Oh, God.
She wasn't the first or the last SS officer to make use of attack dogs.
Oh.
She wasn't even the first female SS officer to do so.
But still, come on. Dogs are meant for cuddles and doing cute little tricks.
Yes. Yeah. Those. I know. It breaks my heart. I love dogs so much, mm-hmm. and it just breaks my heart. She had two. Yerma had two German shepherds that she would walk around with all over the place. Mm-hmm. And they were definitely attack dogs. Mm-hmm. She might have learned this because her instructor at Ravensbrück, Dorothea Binns, that lady, probably a bitch as well, had mean German shepherds that she brought around with her to attack prisoners with. So I feel like that's probably where Yerma got the idea from, because that was her instructor.
Couldn't even get an original idea?
Yeah, nah. She doesn't need to think. She's pretty.
We all know those people.
Like me. No, I'm just kidding.
You're pretty, but you are thoughtful.
Oh, thank you, Lisa. You're pretty, too.
Shut up.
And smart. Ah,
stop.
And so I think this might be a little different. It doesn't say anything about Dorothea Binns doing this, but Yerma would starve her dogs to make them even more vicious.
I hope deep down in some way, at some point, they turned on her and bit her.
That would have been really nice. I'm sure they might have bitten her a few times, you know, kind of. If they're that hungry and that mean, they had to have at least, right?
I would hope so.
I don't know. I've never been around an actual attack dog, so I can't say for certain. But she would sick them on people. They would tear people apart. Awful, 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 awful. So those are her boots and her dogs. Now we get to her weapons that she would carry around.
Is that not enough boots and dogs?
Yeah, right? She's already got enough weapons just with those two things. Jeez. But no, she's got a couple favorite tools of torment that she brings with her as well. Firstly, a whip.
Okay, BDSM, got it.
Yes. Now, this whip was more of a riding crop style, so a short, not like one of those long Indiana Jones whips. But it's not just any old boring riding crop.
Okay.
She had this whip specially made in the camp's weaving factory.
Of course she did.
Right now. So maybe this is her being a little more innovative. She's got her own idea about this. Her whip was made of cellophane.
Cellophane? Like Like plastic wrap? Like
plastic.
What?
Yeah, like what you would wrap a sandwich in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Weird.
Why, you might ask?
Why, Paige? Please, pray tell. Pray tell.
I would pray that I would know how to tell you, because I have no fucking clue why she thought cellophane was a good idea for a whip. It worked, but I would have never thought cellophane to be sturdy and strong enough to whip and hurt somebody, but apparently it did.
If you twist it up enough, it's just as painful, I'm sure.
Right, and that's what she, yeah, like I said, she had it made in the weaving camp, like the factory where, you know, prisoners were sent to do weaving. And they wove this cellophane whip for her. I don't know. But here, this is from Irma's own lips, talking about her whip. So she's describing what the whip was made out of.
Okay.
Cellophane paper plated like a pigtail. It was translucent like white glass.
Ooh, I bet that made it extra scary looking.
I'm sure. Maybe that was half of it, is that it just looks weird and scary. It was a very light whip. But if I hit somebody with it, it would hurt. That's from her own mouth.
I'm sure this is during her, like, testimony while she's on trial, but, like, dumb bitch.
Yep. Yep, it was. Dumb bitch, yes. She used this whip. So this is from the survivors' accounts, different survivors' accounts. They would say she used this whip specifically, I mean, on everybody, but she would also use it on attractive female prisoners on their faces to mess up their faces out of jealousy.
Okay, that's a horrible bitch right there.
Yeah. I mean, come on. These girls are already, like, living in mud and excrement with one dress on and getting beaten every other day. They don't need you to mess up their face. It's not like they remember what their face looks like by this point.
I'm sure there's not a lot of mirrors hanging out.
Definitely not. Yeah, so she had that. So she had her whip, she had her dog, she had her boots. That's not even all of her weapons at her arsenal, like at the ready. Mm-hmm. She also carried around a walking cane that she used to beat people with.
Did she even need it?
No. At this point, it's overkill. Literally, like, you have all these tools to hurt people, but she just loves it. This is what makes her the beast, yeah, or the bitch. Mm-hmm. She's got the walking cane that she beats people with. She's got a gun, but, you know, the prison guards, the SS officers guarding the prisoners, they're not technically supposed to use a whip or a gun on prisoners. They're not supposed to shoot people and they're not supposed to whip people, but she did anyway. She'd also use the gun to pistol whip people and her own fists. So when all else failed, she'd just wail on people with her own fists.
Fuck me. Oh my God. Like,
yeah.
I can't even.
I'm done with this bitch for sure. So she's already got all these other weapons. Clearly, I feel like, just from these simple descriptions of things that she told people at the trials that she carried around, the fact that she had all of these things and that some of them were against the rules, but she carried them anyway, that's not somebody following orders. That's someone who enjoys their job too much.
Yeah, way too much.
And honestly, that's the end of part one.
Ugh.
We're going to be leaving Irma Grace right there at the peak of her cruelty. And then next week, we will be discussing how she gets arrested and her trial. And that's a little bit happier of news, because there is an end to this story.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Like, I'd heard about her a while back, but I definitely forgot about how incredibly horrible this woman was.
Just awful. I had a hard time writing this episode because I had to keep looking up new words to describe how awful she was.
There's not enough words in the thesaurus for this bitch.
Right? I was like, I can't use the word terrible again. Let me go to the thesaurus.
Yeah, no, it's just, it's crazy. People have to have a heart, right? And apparently she has none.
Yeah, and we're going to hear next week, we're going to talk a little bit more about her sexual sadism.
Uh-oh. So I wasn't far off with that BDSM, was I?
No. No, you were not, actually. Back. And you know, it makes sense because she's got all these already weapons. Mm-hmm. So it's like she enjoys using them for a reason. There's a reason she likes it. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about that next week. Where we might barf a little bit because of her cruelty, but
I will be drinking Pepto as my beverage.
Your alcohol of choice will be Pepto. Yes. But yeah, that's our episode for today. Thank you for listening, dolls. If you want to see what Near Death Dolls is up to, please follow us on Instagram at Near Death Dolls Podcast. Tweet us on the Twitter at Near Death Dolls. If you have a weird, spooky, personal story to add to our listener stories episode, which we want to do another one coming up here pretty soon, so hit us up. Type it up and email it to us at neardeathdolls@gmail.com. Put listener stories or dear dolls in the subject line. And be sure to tell us if you'd rather be anonymous or not.
If you want to be what now?
Pamamamamous. Anonymous.
Okay. Anonymous. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. For sure. You can be whatever you want to be. And if you like what you heard, be sure to subscribe and leave us a review. You can also help us by taking a screenshot of whatever episode you're listening to, maybe this one, and share it on Instagram or Twitter. If you feel like joining in on the shenanigans, come over to the Dark Dolly side and join our Patreon for some really fucking awesome extras, like our exclusive conversation show, Dolls After Dark, where Paige and I talk about a lot of things. Usually they go to the sexual side, and they're very, very funny. And it's a little bit lighter, a little bit more fun, totally unscripted.
We rarely talk about Nazis there.
No, mostly sex toys.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that will be a lot of fun. If you joined our Patreon, you get to hear that. And you can also hear our Dolls Disassemble movie reviews. And I know Paige and Sam are putting out a brand new one by the time.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, they're putting out a brand new one. And then I hopefully will be making a whole bunch more soon. So, dearest dollies, please be better than this blonde bitch of Auschwitz. Don't be like her, okay? Just don't. Can we all agree upon that?
Mm-hmm. If you're not like Yerma, yeah. Oh, yeah. If you're not like Yerma Gracie right now, you're already winning at life.
I think so.
Good job.
Brava. Brava. Bravissima. Yeah. And ooh. A little Phantom of the Opera there. Until next time, guys. Mwah. Goodbye.
Bye. Auf Wiedersehen.
Wow. Paige went there. It's awesome.
German.
That's awesome. A special thanks to Sam Hears for our art and music.
If you'd like to see more from him, check out the links in our show notes.